Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
We just held for Brooke's sneeze, and it reminded me that at this party we held on Friday night, I sneezed 7 times in a row.
I almost was just like, Bridget, I think you mean snuzzed.
God, I wish.
I snozed.
I thought about in the shower the other day for a long time how I wish the past tense of slide is slod. Like, I slod on the ice.
Before we started the podcast tonight, I need the people listening at home to know, or wherever you listen to your podcasts, know. I don't
out and about in the world on adventures,
walking the streets of the city you're in. I just tried to say the words Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories, which is the game I'm currently on in the Kingdom Hearts
series. It's the lowest rated one, and she could just skip it, but why would she? Because it's way more satisfying to do things all the way through. I get it.
It's a battle deck system, and I don't like the cards. Anyway, I tried to say that, and what I said was something along the lines of
Chengdom.
Chain. I truly can't.
She
even
got two words out of saying Kingdom Hearts and Chain of Memories at the same time, and then we both just stopped and looked at each other. It was remarkable. I wish we'd done it recording, so you could have all
I'm
heard.
Sort
it.
Of glad we didn't.
You didn't want that recorded for posterity.
No, I didn't.
How are you, my friend?
I'm very, very good. I've been teaching up a fucking storm.
And people are seeking you out.
Yeah, people are. I don't think I told you this.
No.
Last week, did I tell you who took my class last
week?
You did. Oh, Nastia Lukin.
No, that's a new one. Oh my God, Brooke.
So this,
Brooke.
I know this like.
Oh, I'm fanning myself. What?
Sam Pejuk, another Olympian.
Oh, okay.
So here's the funny thing about this. If you don't know who that is, Nastia Lukin is like one of the greatest
gymnasts,
U.S. Olympic gymnasts of all time. Like she held the record before Simone Biles. Mm-hmm. Like Simone Biles broke her record. So before we get into that, earlier that week, a like actress that I know that I enjoy from like Broadway and a TV show that I watch came to take my class earlier in the week. And I was like freaking out, trying to keep cool, losing my mind. She came back again today. But
not only that, she asked when you teach.
We chatted. Yeah, she likes me and I like her.
But like really?
Yeah. Nastia Lukin came and took my class with her mom and her friend, who's another Olympian, and I had no idea. And the teacher next to me, who was sharing the desk time with me, was like, "Do you know who that was?" And I was like, "No." But they told me that my sculpt class was their favorite sculpt they've ever taken.
Oh my God, Brooke. Accolades left and right.
I have the Olympic seal of approval. That's, you might as well stamp the rings on my ass.
I mean,
which are toned from doing my sculpt class.
10,000 versions of it. That's really incredible. I wish those kind of comments were like degrees, diplomas that you could like hang on your home office.
Oh, you mean like geese, Bridget?
Yeah.
Let's transition seamlessly into your accomplishment for the week.
Look at us succeeding. I just came back from a jiu-jitsu class in which I was graduated into the advanced program, and I'm about to go.
Because my baby is a star.
Which means I am, Brooke, you'll love this, I am officially on the black belt track.
Oh my God.
So it's a commitment.
My baby's on the black belt track.
And I like extended my contract. So it's through next August. So like I'm doing this now.
I took a lease out on a car. Bridget took a lease out on her life.
Sounds like I'm going to arrange my own hit.
Literally, you are our own hit. Hey,
jiu-jitsu jokes.
Micro-dab. I've got it for days. You love the micro
dab. I do love it. Our unseeing audience loves it too in their brains. Yeah, so good day. I'm excited. I'm really pumped about it. I'm about to go on out of town for a week, so I won't go until I'm back, which is a little anticlimactic to like the advanced classes, but I'm psyched because I'm going home, and then in less than a week I will be in the arms of one Brooke Weissman. Very toned arms in LA. It's gonna be so good. Fuck, look at you. She's strong.
Maybe. Oh, I won't be teaching the 10:30 on Monday because we'll be going to Harry Potter.
What now?
What am I going to do?
God, I'm so feckin' excited.
I'm missing my third date with my new best friend because you're going to be here.
I mean, if you want to swap her for me.
No. Listen, no one will ever replace you.
Thanks.
Did you... The finale of Broad City, all I'll say about it is that it really celebrates female friendship.
Oh God, I cannot wait to watch the season.
As you can imagine. And I just sent Bridget a photo of me crying.
An eerily beautiful photo of your tear-streaked face, honestly.
That actually reminds me to tell you something after we are off the air.
Memory noted. Hi, Brooke.
Hi, Bridget.
Hi, everybody.
And welcome to
Splat,
the podcast where me, Brooke,
and me, Bridget,
talk about
Sex
the finale.
In the City. God damn it. It's here. Part one of the finale.
10 years younger.
And 20 years later. American Girl in Paris, part one. I cannot believe this is a cryy episode anyway. And I'm going to lean
into that. I cried earlier
feeling.
When I was watching it. I cried. I groaned.
Yeah. I made lots of noises of a varying intensity.
I spoke
strength.
Out loud to myself often. Do we have any more housekeeping before we want to just jump right in?
Well, I feel like we do, but nothing really seems as important as this.
I just want you to know if you don't follow at Splat Podcast already on Instagram, you should, because there will be content coming.
C-O-N-T-E-N-T. Oh,
Bridget
I have
and I
housekeeping.
Haven't seen each
yeah,
other.
God, we're going to go crazy.
Yes.
Bridget. All I was going to say is shout out to your father, Pod Dad, for an Instagram post and an email that you got to first, unfortunately, because I fully knew what he was referring to. That email you sent back. So Brooke's dad emailed our Splat email a photo of...
He did?
Did you not reply? You said this one's over my head, to be honest. You definitely did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, because he also sent it to me.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
So he has been sending me photos from like that scan that he's been scanning, like without any. So I just assumed it was another one.
Oh,
of those.
This made me laugh.
So a lot of them will have a subject line that is referencing the whatever photo he
of
sent.
Of course.
So that one I didn't understand, but. Continue.
So he sent us an email that had a photo of Red Stripes, as in the food product, an encouragement.
The beer.
Food product. That was an encouragement for me and my jiu-jitsu, and I deeply appreciated it. That's all. But yeah, follow us, because content's going to be dripping.
Oh, yeah. He did send it to us.
And that's why you replied to him, which is why I thought it was so...
Was this last night?
It was this weekend. So then I followed up too and was like, this is Bridget. I think he means jiu-jitsu. He got a funny series of emails from us.
Oh, yeah. We talked about it on the phone today too. He posted it on Instagram
I
also.
I saw. He's the best. Anyway, shall we... An American Girl in Paris, part one?
Part une.
Yeah. Get your
yes,
berets on, folks.
Strap them on. Here we go.
Three. I'm just thinking about berets that look like bike helmets that come with like little clip-ons under your chin. Anyway, three, two.
Two, one. That's what Parisian toddlers wear.
Who cares about your head being safe?
Carrie's clothes in this episode are bad. There, I said it.
Pretty much all of them. She is...
She's packing for Paris, but really isn't bringing anything.
And she's not really packing because she can leave all of the rest of her stuff in her apartment. So basically, she's just choosing which of her clothes she should take with her to go on vacation. Nope.
And she's wearing Uggs and underwear, and her body is unbelievable.
It's really, it's nice. I want that sweater she's wearing. It looks so cozy. She's wearing like a gray cashmere button. It's pretty thing. She's getting a phone message.
A lot of voicemails.
And she's going through them and listening.
And then big calls.
And he's like, Carrie, I'd really like to talk to you. Same number in case you've forgotten. And then he goes, and before he can say his name, she hits the delete button.
You're going to find out his name this week.
I know. I'm so excited. So she walks out of the front door of her house in this dress is really nice. In a lovely cocktail dress. And
her hair looks
coming
amazing.
Down the front steps.
It's
and there's
cold.
A black. It's good. There's a black dress. A black car in front of her house. And Big is looking at her out of the window and is basically like, I had to track you down because you weren't answering me.
I was in the neighborhood. And he's like, get in the car. It's cold.
She says, I'm late for dinner with friends. And he says,
and
it's
he makes
5:45,
it's
grandma. Yeah. And she is like not having it. But he convinces her because it is cold. And so she gets in the car.
And then he asks the driver to get out of the car. And she's like, no. And I think Carrie handles this really well.
I think
Big,
so
however,
too.
I groaned a lot because Big is like, I don't know. I've just been calling and you haven't been answering. And it made me feel like some crazy chick. And I was like,
he is
ew.
The worst. She first apologizes for not returning his calls. And he says, yeah, I was starting to feel like a needy chick. Like Brooke just said, I almost just called you Bridget. Cool. And he's like, did I do something? And she says, no, I've been busy with other things. She's not trying to encourage this at all. Like, she really is handling it the best she could. And she also knows what's coming, kind of, and already has decided at the end of his heart ordeal that, like, she understood what was happening and she didn't want it. And so she keeps cutting him off. And he's like, will you let me finish? And he says, since then, I've been thinking about us. And Carrie interrupts him
and she
again,
stops him and is
again.
Like, and she like, Carrie does a lot. Sarah Jessica Parker does a lot of really good acting in this episode, but also weirdly in the first like 7 minutes of it, it's like mostly Carrie monologuing. So Big tries to make plans with her, asks about dinner tomorrow.
Well, she cuts him off. You know, she's like, you don't have to do this. Like, it's a fine. It's we are what we are. And like, that's okay. Like, she does not want him to say anymore. And he's like, okay, dinner tomorrow.
And she's like, I won't be here tomorrow.
Because he says dinner tomorrow. And she's like, I can't. And he says, okay, drinks. And she's like, I literally will not be here. And he says.
And he's like, oh, you're finally taking that vacation. And she's like, I'm going there with a man that I'm in a relationship with.
Which
is like a weird way to say
that. It is.
He's wonderful and I'm happy.
It is. But like he has backed her into the corner kind of. And she is like, well, I guess now I be explicitly clear. And then she says goodbye, basically. And he's like, wait.
And he starts to unravel.
It's so obnoxious. He's like, wait, what do you mean by goodbye? And she says goodbye and gets out of the car. And he comes running after her. And he's like, Carrie, stop. What are you doing? You know, hopping out of the car
like
that.
He's like, you can't just say goodbye and jump out of the car. And then.
Which, like, yes, she
like,
fucking can.
She
kind
of
avoids his
eyes.
Situation.
And he's like, you're moving to Paris?
And he says, when were you going to tell me? Which is like, does she owe you that information? You're not really friends. And he says, what? Yeah. You're not even going to tell me who it is? And so she tells him, Alexander Petrovsky. And he says,
which
his
you would
first
think,
instinct
you would
is
think
a stupid joke,
on,
which is, you're moving to Paris with a Rusky? And so she just turns and walks away.
You would think that Big circle that he runs in, he would know who Alexander Petrovsky is.
Yeah, I think so. His name sounds Russian, like, but I think Big knows who he is.
He's like a famous artist.
And even at this point, Big is like chasing her down the street and he's like, I made a mistake, okay? And Carrie fucking finally loses her shit at him. She's like, no, you cannot do this to me. And he's like, Carrie, I'm different this time. And she's like, no, you're not. You are never different. Like, we've done this. And she ends it by saying,
We learn.
She says,
it's been 6 years.
Don't call me ever again. 6 years, of course. So, okay, a year a season. Give or shake a little.
Give or shake a little. And then she's like, forget you know my name, forget my number, yeah. forget, don't come, you can drive past all you want because I don't live here anymore. It's a little dramatic.
Well, I think I would react the same at that point. He has driven her to it. Like, the fucking nerve on this man. And she turns and walks away and then runs. And she gets to dinner and she's telling them, too little, too late.
Continues monologuing.
And that he is the boy who cried love.
And Charlotte's like, wait, he said love?
And you're like, Charlotte. And then, Charlotte. I have some serious feelings about this episode. Yeah. I don't think you're going to be surprised by them, but.
I'm ready. Hit me as they come.
Anyway, they will come. But Carrie's like downing her drink and Samantha's like, would you like another?
She's like, no, I can't be drunk on the plane. I need to arrive perfect.
And fresh and gorgeous.
Carrie,
and then she knocks on her.
Carrie makes a toast.
On her glass. And Charlotte's like, nope, stop. You're gonna make me cry. And Carrie hasn't even spoken yet. And Charlotte's like, I know, but I know what's coming.
She says, I want to thank you all for wishing me well tonight. In spite of some of your personal opinions at Miranda about my leaving.
But it's been a little bit, and they're clearly, like, in a nice place with each other. Like, they're making jibes about it, but she's accepted it, you know? Like, they're both.
Charlotte just keeps.
They're not angry.
Yeah, they're in a good place. Charlotte keeps being like, stop it, seriously.
Carrie says,
iconic
moment. Yeah, I recognize this. Carrie says, today I had a thought. What if I'd never met you?
Charlotte's crying.
And then they're all crying.
Carrie.
And that's the whole thought. Yeah, and then she looks intimately. She gives each of them uninterrupted eye contact. She turns to Miranda last because it's hardest.
Because she's the scarecrow. I would say that it is. Charlotte is the lion. Samantha is the tin man. And Miranda, despite being the smartest, is the scarecrow.
Interesting. I'm going to think on that.
Wait, also, I think it's really interesting based on what we learned last week about the I wonders of it all, how Carrie doesn't wonder. She says, today I had a thought.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably like the thesis of it.
Yeah. When I was listening back to, I'll circle back to this in a second, but when I was listening back to last week's episode, I'd had this thought while we were recording and didn't go back to check, but as is, like, I feel like this is a pretty good summary for this show. When Carrie symbolically changes that period to a question mark, it would never, I mean, maybe it's symbolic just for her, but like that would never be printed anywhere because it's a question. What it says is it time to stop questioning? And like, you wouldn't do, is it time to stop questioning? Period. Like, that's just never, that's just not correct. So like, I love the big symbolism of it, but once again, it's like her motto, and knows how to ask or whatever. Anyway, Carrie, there's still the four of them at the start of it, and there's still a sort of I wonder, but yeah, it's I had a thought, what if I never met you? And it's a lot simpler, and I really liked that there was no follow-up thought to that. That they just all, yeah, like the whole gravity of it is there for all of them.
It's very sweet.
It's very sweet.
We love them. They're our friends too.
Yeah. And I think too, this is just like so relatable, you know?
Yeah.
But
especially
for us in a lot of ways. Like, we just had dinners like this.
I'm in Paris right now.
I know. How is it there? The baguettes look gorgeous because you're just surrounded
Marie.
By them.
Excuse me, Marie, the baguettes, hurry up.
So, once again, but in French.
Carrie is wearing the ugliest outfit I've ever seen.
It's a
and
bad
she wears it for the rest of the episode.
Dress with a big flower
so
on the front of it.
She is going to meet her car.
Manhattan Town car for Bradshaw. So the last thing she does before leaving her apartment is she
pull out her iconic Carrie necklace.
And she sticks and it in loose her in her clutch, which is just never a good idea.
That's going to get tangled. You're asking. She looks up at her apartment, which is in immaculate condition still because her boyfriend is paying for it, which is just unbelievable.
So it's just a goodbye for now. And
yeah,
although I guess she doesn't know that. If things go well and Petrovsky wants to stay in Paris, she's with him, I suppose. But again, it is a little less dramatic because her boyfriend is paying for her to keep the apartment.
Oh, and we missed a point where Samantha complains about how the side effect of the chemo is that she's getting like early onset menopause.
So she's having hot flashes all the time. And she's at now, Carrie pulls away from the curb and we flash to, no pun intended, Samantha at a planning dinner with a bunch of women who are look like they're actually her, you know, more in her age range. And they're all planning like a benefit gala for breast cancer. And they're talking about the
cookies with the pink Susan G. Komen shaped ribbons.
Like a pink ribbon. And Samantha's basically, she's hot and she's sweaty and she's like, fuck those cookies. I had breast cancer. And when I went to those galas, all I thought was fuck those cookies. And so the organizer woman is like, she has a whole very good Samantha rant. And the organizer woman is like, well, you're right. Unfortunately, the cookies have been ordered, but I'm going to give them something else. I'm going to give them
you.
You'll be and our Samantha's inspirational like, speaker before I go on.
And Samantha's like, and
Samantha is downing wine at this point.
No, it's water. She's chugging water.
She strips out of her jacket.
She's very hot. And her wig is, this episode is bad. There, I said it.
It's, yeah, there are a lot of them. And they're, yeah.
I was watching it with Hillary today and she was like, what is wrong with Samantha's hair? And I was like, she had cancer.
It's a wig, honey. So Samantha becomes now tasked with giving an inspirational speech and she's chugging water.
Which is
back.
Just so not her MO.
Not Samantha's speed at all.
And now Carrie arrives American Girl
in Gay Puckley.
A literally Central Park West, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. That's what I thought when we first came down over it.
It like looks like the part of Central Park that's right by Columbus Circle.
It does indeed. Yes, exactly.
Like where the plaza is.
Yes. Uh-huh. 100%. So Carrie hops out of the cab. She's wearing like this gorgeous sparkly coat and the bad dress underneath it.
No, it's a top and a skirt, and one of them is horizontal stripes, and one of them is vertical stripes, and there's a big, like, what looks like a rich lady's sun hat glued to her chest.
It's supposed to be a flower. Unfortunately, it is one dress because it's hanging up in the beginning of the episode, and you can see it's truly.
And her hat. Oh, she's so stupid.
She's wearing a jaunty little hat that makes her look like she's about to go for a carriage ride in 1860.
And she's
so she has her luggage.
The concierge man, and yeah, she's like, she's talking like in thank yous and hellos in French.
All
bonjour.
She can say is like bonjour and merci. So she keeps saying it to everyone. And then she walks into the lounge where he directs her, and she's greeted by the sight of Alexander, like cuddled up on a couch
around.
With a sweet young thing, who is actively smoking a cigarette inside. Much Carrie's speed.
And Carrie just like really makes out with him feverishly.
Because of course she's a little bit like, what the fuck's going on here? And the girl just watches her from the couch. And my first thought, although they are very intimately draped around each other, was what the truth is, which I'm surprised didn't even occur to Carrie. Which is, doesn't his daughter live in Paris?
I was like, I forgot. I didn't remember this part. Mm. I don't really watch the finale very often.
Mm. So it's his daughter, Chloe, who, of course, is like, I don't know, at least 18 probably. And she says
like
something
French
rapidly.
And
very much a grungy French teenager with an attitude. And she says something to Carrie quickly. And Carrie's like, I caught maybe one part of that. And Chloe's like, you don't speak French. She's very condescending. And then she talks about having
Alexander,
boy problems. And so,
like,
of course, Carrie is like, me, talk to me. This is the thing I know.
And she goes, but this is your first trip to Paris? And Carrie goes, not if you include movies. I'm amazing.
I almost screamed when we drove by the Eiffel Tower. She's just saying all of the things to make Chloe be like extremely condescending and rude to her.
Because not only is this girl living in Paris, but she's also Russian. So like,
and she's
like,
her dad's famous, you know, and she's just a teenager. So like, all of this adds up to totally unimpressed by Carrie.
And Petrovsky is like, this is the only time I can spend with my daughter, blah, blah, blah. And Carrie's like, oh my God, go spend time together. I'm going to go take a nap, get acquainted with the time.
I'll go upstairs.
He's like, are you sure?
And then he says, he gives her a kiss goodbye. And he says, I have to meet some people for the museum for dinner. early dinner, but I'll eat light and we could go out then. And already I had this moment of like,
this isn't going to go
well. No, it's not. And once again, it took a second of her landing in Paris for it to be clear that he has a life here and the only thing she has here is him.
Interesting how that works, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she shares like a funny handshake with Chloe and comes back and she's like, where am I going? And he tells her the room number. And then she says it back to him in French and he's like, wow, you're amazing. And she's like, I know. She goes upstairs and it is a palace of a hotel room. Because remember, Alexander's house is being remodeled. So they're staying at the Palace Athene, I think it's called, for...
And like, obviously it's fucking beautiful.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Expansive, lovely. You know,
she eats a grape out of a fruit bowl because, of course,
I
she does.
I almost thought it was going to be wax for a second, but no, of course not. It's a real beautiful fruit bowl.
That would have been funny, though.
And it's, I mean, she's thrilled. Of course. Of course she's thrilled.
But she's like, look at these. She like speaks the word up. Very impressed by her, how listening she got, learned French by osmosis. Just listening to those tapes.
You just delayed, but it came through. And yes, me as well. She like speaks to the curtains. She's enamored. And then she goes out onto this cute little balcony and looks one way and looks the other.
And like squeals.
Direct view of the Eiffel Tower. And she's so excited. She does scream. And then she jumps up and down. It's really sweet.
It's very sweet.
Gorgeous shots of her from afar on the balcony jumping up and down.
Yeah.
And then it is nighttime and like deep nighttime at this point. And
she's wearing this crazy dress.
She is just like in the middle of a tulle pool. A pool of tulle.
A tulle pool.
Except it's like a mermaid dress where the top half is a completely different dress and the bottom is just so much material.
And she just was all dressed up where the no Alex to go, she says.
And there are puppies all over Charlotte and Harry's house. And they're cute as fuck.
And they're doing adoption papers.
And Charlotte has gone from in a complete 180 from 0 to 1,000 and is like, let's get on every registry we can. Let's go. You know, this one's super competitive. And Harry's like, what could be more competitive than China? And she's like, Harry, God is going to send us a baby from somewhere. And we just have to be as aggressive as we can and get on every list we can. And he says, amen.
It's very cute.
I love Harry for her.
I love Harry for her. I love Harry for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get Carrie.
Alexander comes
like
home
sleeping.
And Carrie is asleep.
In a pool of her own tulle.
Exactly. And tears,
a puddle of Tuttle.
And he apologizes. He's like, this museum... A puddle of Tuttle. Very good. He's like, this dinner turned into drinks, turned into this thing I couldn't escape, and an important donor was there. And he apologizes. And she says, why didn't you call? And he says, I did.
He said,
you
I
had
did.
The do not, you had the disturb do not disturb on your phone. And Carrie's like, oh, fuck.
And he's like, did you get enough sleep? And then she's like, it's dinner time in New York. And he's like, well, let's bon appetit. And then he asks about her dress. What is it? And she's like, 1,000 layers of tulle. And he like very sexily like counts them and then ends up under her dress.
It's pretty cute. He starts like going under them and counting and she's laughing and he's tickling her. And so you're like, oh, okay, disaster averted. Or
yeah,
is
they're
it?
Fine. They're in love.
They're
everything's
sweet.
Great.
The fundamental issue still exists, but and so
but
does Alexander.
It's her first night in Paris.
Yeah, and she's very happy. So you know what? That's what matters. She turns into a really cute, giddy little girl.
And then we cut to Samantha with the note cards performing her speech for Smith
and serious glasses. And it's all,
and
you know,
she's so, her body is just,
it's really insane. I cannot believe it. It's about, it's, you know, breast cancer is everywhere. It's the single mother picking her child up from school. And it's the woman next to you at the dry cleaners. And she's fanning herself in between. She's naked partially because they've just been hooking up, but also because she's just like so hot she can't have clothes on at any time. And she ends with this like kind of trite,
I beat cancer, I can take on the world. And she's like, so.
And then she curtsies.
Like, curtsies. And it's like, so what did you think? And he's like,
what is that? It's kind of stiff. And he's like, I just thought it would sound more like you. And she's like, this is supposed to be inspirational. I cannot sound like myself. And Smith is like, but at Alcoholics Anonymous, the good speakers are the people who keep it real.
And Samantha's like weirdly like puts down AA, and which like isn't great.
No, especially when your boyfriend is committed to it. But he's like, just, you know, be authentic. People respond to truth, which Smith is the best person.
Smith is the fucking best character on this show.
Honestly, he fucking is. He just keeps
succeeding.
He's so
fucking well-rounded and hot and patient. Like,
they
fuck
put all
Steve.
Of it into that.
Smith Jared is my
favorite
Same. Character.
He's mine. He's mine. He's definitely my favorite of the guys. So Carrie's like, by day five, with my straightened hair that's not as nice, I felt finally confident to do the thing I'm best at, go shopping. And she walks into, what is it, Dior?
And it's raining. It's raining.
And
it's
she
pouring.
Closes. The old man is snoring. And she closes her umbrella. And it drips water on the floor. And she steps into it. And she fucking slides across the Dior sales floor. And everything falls out of her bag. And, which, important note, everything falls out of her bag.
Everything falls out of her
She's
bag.
She's wearing a 2006 middle school dance dress. That's
prom
bedazzled.
Dress, yes, Bridget.
Thank you.
Amazing work.
Thank you. That clap was so big and enthusiastic. And Carrie
Well, you can
goes
still
home.
See me?
Yeah, now.
Oh, I love when you can see me and I forget.
Don't do anything. So Carrie goes home and tells Alexander about the whole thing and how upset she is. And she's like, God, I didn't even make sure I had all my credit cards. And she starts going through everything and realizes.
And lo and behold, she has lost
the
Carrie her
necklace.
Bracelet.
Necklace.
What did I say? Bracelet?
Match the never heard of Carrie bracelet. More important to her and less talked about.
Than the Carrie necklace, which is what she lost.
And so Carrie, of course, is freaking out.
And Petrovsky is like, was it insured? And she was like,
no, it was nothing like that. But it's priceless because it just is. You know, I've had it forever. And Alexander, like, goes back to his phone call in French. And Carrie is just sitting there like, fuck. And he's not very supportive. He's not great in her times of crisis. Their love languages are different.
Because her problems to him are trite.
Perhaps because, never mind, I'm not going there. We don't need to get that dark. But you're right.
Ooh, I want to know.
I just mean, like, I think Carrie has acquiesced to a lot of that.
Oh, yeah. She's walking solemnly through the streets of Pelly, and she walks past four women laughing at brunch. And it's, you know,
they're all,
evocative
you know,
of
and then they all
the brunch we know.
They're laughing and it's sweet. And then they all look up and catch her staring through the glass. And it's kind of an uncomfortable moment. And so she calls Miranda from a payphone and she's like, is it too early? And Miranda's like, Carrie, hi, how are you? And Carrie says, I'm really upset. And Miranda says, what's wrong?
Look at how much garlic Miranda has in her kitchen.
And it's amazing. She's warding off vampires. She says she tells her she lost her necklace and that it's replaceable.
Bracelet.
And
but she got it at the street fair that they were all at together and she lost it and it makes her so sad. And Miranda's being
Mary goes,
empathetic.
Sure, I understand. And Carrie goes, no one here
Mary?
Seems to understand. Carrie says, no one here seems to understand. And Miranda goes, come home.
It's so funny.
And she's really, she's like, she held out that long, you know. Carrie's like, I can't. I've only been here a week. And it's hard. It's harder than I thought
it
would be.
Harder than I thought.
I don't speak the language. It's too cold and rainy.
And she's gone to all the museums twice in a week, which, like, there's a lot of museums
Girl,
in Paris.
Girl, take
so
your time.
She feels lost, which, as like, obviously,
of course,
dude,
you don't have a
you're
purpose.
You're moving to a new
there.
City with no job. You have nothing.
Your purpose
bitch.
Is a man who you're not even that committed to.
I think she's pretty committed to him.
And Miranda keeps being like, so come home. And Miranda's like,
you sound so upset.
Which she does. And Carrie says, no, I'm just being a baby. You know, I lost my necklace and I saw these girls having lunch. And
She misses her best friend, which, like, also, Carrick, be kind to yourself. I know. Let yourself
it can be hard. She said, I just
it's really hard.
Thought how much I miss you guys. And Miranda, of course, who has terrible hair right now, says, we miss you too. And
that's so
Carrie's
bad.
Like, oh, I'm being absurd. I'm in Paris. You know, I just have too much time to think. It's fine. I'm fine. I'll enjoy it. Miranda's like, what does that
and
mean?
And Carrie goes, can I tell you something you won't use against me when I feel great and everything's better? And Miranda says, yes. And she goes, I keep thinking about Big. Of course she does.
This makes me so... I mean, not this and not her confessing it. I just, the setup here makes me furious.
Well, and she thinks about what would happen if I came here with Big. Because if we remember in the first season, Big moved to Paris but did not offer her to come.
And Carrie gets really quiet and she's like, that's just something I do when things aren't going perfectly my way as I compare everyone else to Big. And then before...
Which, like... Bitch.
Yeah. Yep. Brooke.
Hello. Ding, ding, ding. Phone for me. Oh, hello. Oh, good to talk to myself, yeah. Carrie Bradshaw.
You're
Thank
on the other
so
end of that
much.
Phone. But before she can say anything else, a French voice cuts in and she's out of time on the phone and it hangs up. And she kind of like shakes it off.
Look at her calves.
And that thing she does where she like swivels her heel in a little bit with each step she takes.
She's... fucking amazing.
So Samantha's giving her inspirational speech and it is a little stiff. It's a little stilted. Also, they need to stop putting her in strapless things that like truly cut her breasts in half. And
Smith Jarrett is truly the hottest man I've ever seen.
He's gorgeous. And Samantha is on the big screen and she has sweat dripping down her face on her whole body. And she has a bad wig on and she's sweating in it. And she's giving her, like, she's you inspirational speech. And everyone's kind of, like, bored. And Samantha
and
gets,
goes, oh,
goes,
fuck,
oh
it.
Fuck it.
She's me.
And if any of you are having hot flashes like I am, you deserve a fucking medal. Bad enough I,
Bad
lose,
enough
my
I lose my hair. Now I have my face running down my couture. And the
Smith
audience,
laughs.
They're responding.
Oh,
they're
loving
starting to laugh.
It. And she goes, oh, to hell with it. And she reaches up.
Takes off her wig.
And pulls off her wig. Which also, if you're that hot, why are you wearing above the elbow satin gloves, madam?
And then, in a Spartacus moment, women all throughout the
audience,
the gala hall,
stand up
begin
and take
taking
their wigs.
Off their wigs.
And it's actually, I mean, it's
Spartacus.
It's
and I am Spartacus.
It's like a lovely solidarity moment that, like, Samantha has
and
inspired
we are
something. The way the one woman whips it off, where she's like, it's like a graduation app, where she's like, boom, and she does a little bevel after.
And it's really,
and then
sweet.
Samantha's crying, and then Smith stands up and cheers
Smith
for her, and then
leaps.
Everyone does. But it's like, she didn't think she could be inspirational, and of course, by being Samantha, she really is. And then she
throws her wig into the crowd, and someone catches it.
Which is her
gross.
Sweaty wig. It's so funny. And she just stands there and fans herself with the...
Is
Her
this
notes.
The scene you have a problem with?
So much so. I wanted to scream.
So Charlotte goes to Carrie's apartment to pick up the recommendation letter for the adoption. And she's
that Carrie
in
has
Carrie's
left
apartment
for her.
And she's
like
looking
nostalgia
around
wandering
and she's
through. She's wearing this really cute like pantsuit. And
yeah, she
sees
looks fucking cool.
Carrie's.
It's a regular suit, but yes.
Computer. On the bed.
She's like,
and she's,
which like, I cannot believe like, Carrie just left her computer. Like, she's not going to write in Paris, even though she's not writing
right.
for the column.
She's
what
never
does she
use
do?
Computer. Imagine not being attached to your technology. And
I
as she's
cannot.
There, as Charlotte is sitting there on the bed, Big leaves another message and he's like, listen, you know, you left so fast and there's something I didn't get to tell you. And I just, you know, you may never even check this number, but there's something I have to tell you.
But
I love you. And fucking Charlotte picks up the goddamn phone and says, hi. And I was so, so, so angry. So angry.
Cut to brunch with the three ladies and who walks in but Big. And fucking Miranda is wearing blue eyeshadow and it is horrifying.
Way better than that, though. Both Samantha and Miranda, at least at first, are like glaring daggers at him. And
yeah, and Big like monologues, and for some reason,
God
Charlotte
knows
is, like,
I've made a lot of mistakes with Carrie. I fucked it up,
and
Charlotte's just like Big doe eyes walking him, and Samantha's like many times,
and Miranda is stone cold.
She's got lawyer
quiet.
Face on, lawyer face, hardcore. He says
and,
you three
and Big
but
goes,
know her better than anyone. You're the loves of her life, which okay, a little flattery goes a long way, and a guy's just lucky
and
to
a
come
guy's
in
just
fourth.
Lucky to-
but I do love her. Which is like, what? Dude. And if you have, think I have the slightest chance, I'll be on the next plane to Paris. I'll roam the streets. Until I find her, I'll do anything. Which is just like so much too little too late and to not the right person who has, for better or worse, made her decision and it is not about you.
But Miranda's also sitting there with the knowledge that Carrie's thinking about Big I know. And that she's unhappy in Paris.
And that it was cut off before, you know, they could finish that conversation. He's like, listen, if she's happy, I'll let it go. But if you think there's even the slightest inkling, and they all do this like conspiratorial look at each other. And Miranda's like the last one. And she leans forward.
She leans in and she says, go get our girl.
And I had to take a break. I was so angry.
And I'm like, let's go Big. Let's go Big.
I hate it.
Because Petrovsky just doesn't get her in the way that Big gets
her. Here's the thing.
And I am part of the problem.
Here's the thing. I don't give a fuck about Petrovsky. No, he's not right for Carrie. But fucking Big. I am so... Ugh, I hate it. I hate it. And I hate what it says about Carrie that she would be able to get that angry at him and be done with his like fucking around...
I get it.
I hate it.
I get it.
I hate it.
I get it.
I'm not saying I don't get it, but I hate it.
And it's because it's the parts of us that we don't want to admit exist.
So Petrovsky is taking her out to dinner and
hold up a mirror, Bridget.
I don't know. I can tell you actually from experience that I would handle this completely differently. I just
that's good.
Not completely necessarily. I just hate Big. You know, I just wouldn't have. I would not have played along for as long as Carrie did in the beginning.
That's
and
good.
I don't think I would have formed that attachment. Now, can I be duped into that by someone really trying? Sure can, baby. Petrovsky gives Carrie a beautiful replacement necklace that's just
diamond
like a gorgeous,
necklace, which,
gorgeous
like,
diamond necklace. Also, he's like, I know it's not the same thing, but it's a necklace.
But it's like, Petrovsky, just get her a fancy Carrie necklace.
Well, I don't think those were as easy to come by then, probably, as they were now. But especially, it doesn't seem like a Parisian thing. But yes, I'm sure he could have found that if he wanted. He got a special order.
And so he was like, he's promising that it's just going to be the two of them. And then all of a sudden, his best friends come.
It's like these people who haven't seen him forever. And so, of course, they have to sit down. And then they're all speaking in French loudly around her. And Carrie, like, touches her necklace. But it's not her necklace that she plays with when she's anxious. It's a different one.
And that, my friends, is the end of part one.
God, I'm hyped up again. I'm angry about it again.
Talk about it. Talk about it.
I wish the show had given us more reason to believe that Carrie and Big is a healthy, good thing. You know what I mean? Like, I just wish it had been done better. I want to buy into this. But as it is, I'm like, I don't like Big. And I am thrilled that even if Petrovsky's not it, Carrie finally fucking lost it at him. And that smarmy act he played in the car. And as much as sure her friends want her to come home, I think them making this decision and doing this and Charlotte picking up that phone was a huge, huge overstep, honestly.
Interesting.
And it's something that I don't think would have happened in the same way. I think it could happen, not to make this about ploppability. I think it would be like, you know, I don't know, because I don't think if Charlotte had picked up the phone, I don't know that Big ever would have been courageous enough to reach out to them by himself. You know what I mean? It was like a last shout in the void that Charlotte happened to hear. And I think that's part of what makes me so angry too.
I mean,
he took the opportunity when it arose. I know. You're right. But I just mean, cause I was thinking like, I was going to say nowadays, like, I feel like he would, you know, find them on social media or like reach out to Charlotte or something. And then I was like, oh no, he didn't reach out to Charlotte. That was happenstance. He didn't even think of going to her.
There would have to be another way. Cause we don't really have answering machines anymore. It would have had to
certainly
be, you know what it would
have
been.
Messages
you
know, like
it would have been.
Like
no, let me tell you what it would have been. So in this situation where Carrie still leaves her laptop at her house, right? Goes to Paris, sans laptop. Charlotte still comes to her apartment to get her mail, get the recommendation letter. She sees the laptop. I'm a writer now. She sees the laptop. She goes and she sits. She opens up the laptop and Big has sent an email. And maybe Carrie has seen the email on her smartphone and just decided to ignore it. Charlotte,
I'm going to tell you this still makes me angry, because if my friend came by to check on my mail and saw my computer and decided to open it, I would be annoyed about that. I could see Charlotte accidentally spills on the letter. She has coffee in her hand and she accidentally spills it on the letter. And so she has to print another version. So yes, she opens fair. Carrie's computer. Just, you know, there we go. Because I just don't, I can't quite get over the Charlotte part of it. And I like understand sometimes like helping your friends or, you know, assisting behind their backs in ways they don't necessarily know. But this makes me so, so angry, especially after the conversation they had. And especially because with Charlotte, it's predicated on the conceit of it is that he says, I love you. And so Charlotte's like, that's why she has to pick up the phone. And then that conversation they had where Charlotte was like, he said he loved you. And Carrie's like, no, well, no, he didn't. And I'm like, for Charlotte to decide that that means so much, you know, that she gets to do this.
Totally. Totally.
Very much makes me angry.
That makes sense.
How do you feel about it?
I get it.
Do you get Charlotte's end of it too and the big end of it and all of it?
No, I think the Charlotte part makes it TV and not life.
Yeah, fair. I think you're right.
And I think, you know, at this point we know what they're working towards.
Yeah.
And
God damn. I don't know how I'm going to feel about this finale.
Remember it. I don't think I've watched the finale very many times. Because when I was watching it on DVD over and over again, I didn't have the sixth season because it hadn't come out yet. Mm. So, and then like, you know, I feel like I don't really, you don't watch like series finales often because they're usually like hyper emotional. But I resonated with Carrie. I understand that like concept uh-huh. that concept of like
the comparison thing. Yeah.
And it always coming back. Always, yeah, always. Yeah, yeah. And I think that's true.
I get it too, but like you get it very strongly.
it works both ways too. Yep. It's like it's a very bizarre type of connection to have with someone that like you just like there are some things that you can't.
They're like imprinted on you, you know. It becomes your barometer, whether you want
it's like
it to
they'll
or
be
not.
It's like they're with you, like a handprint on your heart.
Oh,
you know?
so sly over there, you dumb.
Happy April Fool's Day. This is our next podcast is just gonna be wicked quotes.
That's gonna be you.
What if I just did a dramatic reading of T.S. Eliot's Cats?
Oh, I would subscribe so fast. Can you do
that
for me?
Every week is a different cat.
Oh my God.
Yeah, for your birthday.
Thank you.
Anyway. I have a lot of work to do this week, huh? Uh-huh. I resonated with Carrie, period.
But it's joyful work, Brooke. I resonated with Carrie too, although more so I think even just in a practical sense of like moving abroad, you know, and the scariness of that and like trying to find although I was, you know, I moved abroad with a job and people built in to some extent, you know, and I moved purposefully because I was taking care of kids, but I moved somewhere where I spoke the language, you know? So I have fewer of the barriers that Carrie does. But even so, I mean, you're doing this right now, same country, but still a move to a new city anywhere is just like, it's a big, exhausting emotional undertaking. And to like build a life somewhere and figure out what that looks like. And she's fresh off the boat, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And no, Alexander is clearly not her like dream man. He does not
OTP.
Yeah, he doesn't take care of her in some of the critical ways I think Carrie needs to be taken care of. But I'm still proud of Carrie for going, and I'm proud of Carrie for I resonated with her when she went the fuck off on Big.
Yes.
That kind of I've actually had conversations like that where just like the audacity of the person, the
yeah, I've never had that kind of a emotional blow up at someone.
I think we will agree.
When I do it, I do it very calmly.
I also am that, but I haven't really had, I mean, I've had like maybe two or three emotional, you know, conversations on that level, but like once I have, and I think we'll agree it was warranted. And it was one of the most satisfying things I've ever done because of that, because I've just never been more in the right. But it was like cathartic for me because of how I feel about Big, I think, to see her finally do that a little yeah. bit.
Sure.
And I resonated with Miranda for sure. And the like being supportive, but then also really want, like, I could see having a similar conversation.
Sure.
And I like the place that they come to in the beginning of the episode where they're both like, Miranda's clearly like, I don't want you to go. And Carrie's like, you don't want me to go. But they're like, fine. You know, they're still best friends.
Yeah. They're still best friends.
They're still best friends. Popability otherwise?
Yeah, we already talked about this a little bit.
There is a little bit of that the you know, like Carrie's conversation with Miranda wouldn't have happened like that, and it wouldn't have been cut off. She would have FaceTimed her from the hotel kind of thing, you know, or like,
yeah,
you know, like just some of those plot devices. This is a 2000s show with 2000s plot and 2000s technology. So, you know, this isn't that interesting of a revelation, but you know, just things like that. Cause moving abroad
it was
hard, but it was, I can't imagine having done it like 30 years ago, you know, when my contact would have been like letters and the occasional phone call.
Yes. That's crazy. I was just talking with a waitress about how like there's this girl that I grew up with who I don't talk to and haven't spoken to since high school, but I will always have her phone number memorized because it's the first cell phone number I learned.
Yeah. My
and I still have my best friend growing up.
I was just going to say my best friend from seventh grade's phone number will be in my head for the rest of time. Yeah. Yeah. There are a lot of shelves in my brain taken up with things like that. Also,
yeah, so stupid.
Sunshine Daisies, Butter Mellow, Turn the Stupid Fat Rat Yellow. That pops in there about once a month. You should know what that is.
It's a Harry Potter spell.
Yeah. Well, it's not a real spell, but it's the one the twins tell Ron to use on Scabbard. Scabbers.
Right. Meet Peter Pettigrew. Spoilers.
Spoilers! Guys, what an episode.
Plopability. So that's finale part one. Do you want to do Delta's ups and downs of the week, my love?
First, I want to know your Darren stars.
Thank you. I give it a 9 out of 10 Darren stars.
I'm going to give it an 8. I love the...
Because I think it is quintessential Sex in the City. I think we get the arc, we get the stereotypes of our four ladies ideally, perfectly. We know who they are. They are all inside Carrie's head, and they... No, just kidding. Actually, I feel like this episode, they're each their own person. Very strongly. I think it is...
Agreed. I do love the Samantha plot. We didn't really touch on that.
We didn't talk enough about
that.
But
I love the Samantha plot. And I also love... I think I related to Samantha a little bit in having that moment sometimes of where, like, being surprised by your impact on other people.
Uh-huh.
You know, and how gratifying that is and how...
I think I have that moment a lot as a yoga teacher.
Yeah, seriously.
Because I'm such a fucking...
And how not clearly we see ourselves too, you know?
Yeah, someone told me I reminded them of a fairy. And I was like, I don't think I want to hang out with that. I was like, I think more like a pixie.
Yes, that I could see for sure.
But it was nice.
Delta ups, Delta downs. My Delta up is joining the advanced program and how excited I am for whatever the next part of this journey looks like and like committing more fully. And that tomorrow I get on a plane bound for Portland and then I get on a plane bound for LA and then it's my birthday and then Harry Potter World and then... getting to snuggle up with Brooke and recording the finale. the finale finale.
Please DM us how many times you think I will cry in the 3.5 days that I, 3 days that I'm with Bridget.
Yeah, we'll take bets well, on either of both of us.
I'm pretty guaranteed that I will cry when I first see her. Yep. And when I have to leave her.
Yep, and probably when we watch the finale in some way.
Oh, yeah, we'll cry together.
And maybe record.
Because we're going to – are we going to – okay, you should download and watch it on the plane so we can watch it separately.
Yeah, I will. I will.
Unless
for sure.
we live watch it. No, we can't do
that. I thought about that, but we can't. I was literally just thinking about it, but we can't do it with sound. Because we need to have – I need to have the sound when I watch it for the first time.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Delta up. Down? Oh.
Oh, Delta down. I forgot.
It's okay. We could just – let's just do Delta ups this week. It's all on the up and up.
Okay. My Delta up is one of them is still a secret. It's like a work in progress. Uh-huh. And it's that Bridget is coming, obviously. Just the anticipation of that.
Yeah, it's really good. I will be there this week, 5 days. Oh my God. That's really overwhelming and exciting. Whew, okay. I need to do some Zen breathing. I need to go wash my body, as do you probably.
Wait, what about...
Yours. No, we did yours.
What about social media?
Oh, my God.
How can I find thee on social media, my lady Bridget?
Ye can find me on ye old Twitter at Mrs. Burt Macklin and on Instagram at a Bridget M37. Brooke.
You can find me at ye old Twitter at Brooke _Wiseman. And you can find me at Instagram Tavern.
The stakes have risen.
At Brooke Wiseman, _ Jesus Christ. No underscore. And if you put the underscore, I will call you and leave you 5-minute voicemails of me trying to speak in old English 3 times a week for 2 months.
Oh, God. Wow. Again with the specificity. Incredible. Collectively, we are at Splat Podcast.
And Gmail, Instagram,
collectively, but not together, as your ears will tell you. We are at Splat Podcast. On all of the places.
Rate, review, subscribe, you guys. Next week is the
it's
end.
It's happening. Brace yourselves. So
if you don't tell us what to do, we'll probably do the Sex and the City movies.
Yeah, but that'll happen. So there'll be some time. To do maybe after, we'll do some polling. You know, we'll see what's happening.
All right, we out, fam.
Love you.
Love you. Mean it.
Real big. Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.